We all have burdens. No matter who we are, no matter what kind of family we come from, no matter what our income level or tax bracket may be, it doesn't even matter if we're doing a good job or a poor job or somewhere in the middle of trying to live the Christian life, we still have a certain amount of burdens in our lives. Our humanity is said to be one of the great equalizers of mankind. And so if we're human, we have burdens. Now, not all burdens affect us in the same manner. Some burdens are hidden. Some of them are open. Some of them are very private, and some cannot be concealed no matter what we do. As a general rule, people handle burdens in all kind of different ways. Some people make an open display of their burdens, and they never cease from complaining about the things that are wrong and the problems that they're having, and on and on. On the other hand, some people seem to be icons of discretion, and they wear their sackcloth under their robes, as the fashion of the king of Israel in 2 Kings chapter 6, when Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, had laid siege to the capital city of Israel, Samaria. And the people had been without food for so long that mothers were boiling and eating their own children. And when the king heard about that situation, he tore his garments. And as he walked on the wall around the city, people looked up and they could see there under his robes, he was wearing sackcloth. That's 2 Kings chapter 6. You jot it down now, but look it up later. I want you to listen to everything else I'm saying. It is not uncommon for those burdens sometimes to seem to be inescapable. They might have to do with family members or maybe even a spouse, and you're pretty much stuck with them, and so you're just going to have to deal with those burdens. A burden may be rooted in a condition of your physical body, and it may be some kind of physical illness that the best doctors in the world have been unable to do anything about. A burden in your life may have sprung up out of what seems to be grief that is bottomless in depth. I read of an elderly woman in a small Chinese village who had lost her son, and he was very, very dear to her. No matter what she did, she could not find comfort and release from that overwhelming sense of grief that had come upon her. And so finally she went to a very wise old man in the village there and asked for his counsel, and he told her what to do. He said, "You go about from house to house and you find a home that has no sorrow and no grief, and you bring me a mustard seed from that home, and I will restore your son to you." And several days went by, and those several days turned into 2 weeks, and finally she came back to that old man, and she said, "I have been so selfish in my grief, because sorrow is common to every home." That's true. As we try to resist the tendency to think that nobody's got it as bad as I do, as we try to be objective and realize the fact that everybody has problems, and I wouldn't trade the ones that I have today for the ones that you're dealing with today, and hopefully you'd feel the same way. You wouldn't dare want to take mine on instead of yours. The fact is, we all have burdens. And not all burdens are the same. And they are not all to be dealt with in the same way. Please, if you will, turn back with me to that passage that Brother Frank read to us from Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 through 5. And let's refresh our minds with that text. I want to read it again, and then I want us to consider some ways in which to deal with our burdens. Now, I had Brother Frank read it this morning in the King James Version. I want to read it to you now from the English Standard Version. And there Paul says, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, and when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each one will have to bear his own load." Let me suggest three things that I think are very important as we deal with our burdens. Number one, I would suggest to you that some burdens need to be shared with others. Many of the loads that we have to bear in this life grow infinitely lighter under the touch of a friendly hand or at the sound of an encouraging word. There's a spiritual principle that's at work here, and in this fact, it is equally true in the world of physical labor. In fact, Solomon illustrates it, and he makes that dual application in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning in verse 9, where he says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, and woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not easily broken." Brothers and sisters, this is more than just that old idea that misery loves company. It is the very basic fact that no one of us is so strong that we do not need the help of someone else at some time. True, some of us are stronger than others. And no doubt there will always be those who will try to exploit the assistance and the help of others out of a sense of slothfulness and irresponsibility. And we sometimes may find ourselves attempting to make a stand of self-reliance and independence in an effort to avoid the appearance of weakness and to keep from being seen like those who are always wanting someone else to do their things for them. Yet there are times when the storms of life will unleash upon us overwhelming waves of difficulty. And on just such occasions, it is a glory unto God's people if we will rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Romans 12, verse 15. Not only should we be willing to accept the help of those who can best help us carry those loads that we are faced with, as true servants of God, every single one of us needs to be alert to the opportunities around us to help and serve one another in these dark hours. To properly do that, we need to equip ourselves with some really important things. We need a richer and more sensitive love and tolerance for those who are weaker than we are. We need to get rid of this old idea that, well, I made it, you can too. Our hearts must be compassionate, and our pockets need to be generous toward those who are truly in need. We need to properly evaluate and appreciate the unique eternal value of every soul. And we need to understand that it's in these times of difficulty, when someone is suffering and enduring tremendous hardship, that they may be at the point at which the devil has the widest door open into their lives. We should, at a moment's notice, be ready to ease the burdens of the weary, recognizing the benefit that will come to the giver and the receiver alike. Matthew 5, verse 7, the Lord said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Some of us need to do a better job of letting others help us with some of our burdens. And then there are also some of us who need to be a little bit more attentive to the needs of those outside of ourselves. Because the fact is, some burdens need to be shared. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Number two, there are some burdens that will come into our lives that we must bear all by ourselves. Some burdens simply have to be shouldered. The English Standard Version properly translates that term there in verse 5 of our lesson text. Each will have to bear his own load. Whereas the King James Version says, every man shall bear his own burdens. The word burdens of verse 2 and the word load in verse 5 are two entirely different things. Literally, in the original language of Greek, the word in verse 2 that's translated burden in English means weight. W-E-I-G-H-T. And it is to be understood as though it is in an unspecified quantity. Bear one another's weights. The word in verse 5, though, is a word which is an entirely different word in the Greek language, and it's a word that's used to refer to the lading or the cargo, as in a ship. But even that, it's to be understood in a very specific way, because it is the lading or the cargo that is for that ship. And only that ship. And no other ship is to be carrying that particular cargo, because it's on the bill of lading for that ship. In other words, so far as God is concerned, there are some things that are ours and no one else's. And we have to deal with those things ourselves. Some of our burdens are in the form of responsibilities that are ours to carry, and no one else can do those things for us. Paul tells us of our most fearful responsibility in Romans chapter 14, verse 12. He says, "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." You will not be able to answer for me, and I will not be able to answer for you. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, children among us will recognize the story of the wise man and the foolish man, the wise man who built his house upon the rock and the foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rains came tumbling down. And the rains came down and the floods came up, and the rains came down and the floods came up. There in that passage, Jesus says that each person must bear the burden, the load of patterning our lives in obedience to his teaching. And he says it in such a way that he implies very strongly that this is an individual matter. It's not something your preacher can do for you. It's not something you can do for your preacher. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, Jesus said, shall be likened unto that wise man who built his house upon the rock. Insofar as our obedience to the Lord and to his commands, insofar as all of the attendant responsibilities that are ours because of the fact that we have accepted the gracious offer of salvation that is presented through the blood of Jesus, there are things that we must do, loads that we must carry that no one can carry for us. One of the more disgusting traits of our culture today is the blame game that so many people try to play in excusing themselves from the responsibility for their actions. We've spent millions of dollars studying and digging into subjects, trying to figure out who's really responsible when someone turns into a serial killer. Who's really responsible when someone lives all of their life without ever attempting to hold a real job? There are some loads that we have to carry ourselves. And while some have convinced themselves that they should not have to bear responsibility for their actions, it's rather the fault of their parents or their teachers or their upbringing. And there is no doubt that there are a multitude of influences that come into our lives all along the way. But in the end, we are going to stand and give an account for ourselves to God. Sins have physical consequences as well as spiritual, but we will not be able to avoid the physical consequences of our actions because some burdens, some loads have to be shouldered alone. Number three, there are some burdens that must be shed. This third class of burdens are those that are too heavy to be borne. Too heavy to be carried. And God tells us in Psalm 55, verse 22, what to do with them. cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Psalm 55, verse 22. It is very important for us to understand just exactly what that passage is telling us to do. Nowhere does God ever say, I'll make all of your problems go away. He doesn't say that. It's not in there. You can't find it, because that's not His will. He never said, I'll make all of your troubles disappear. But the predictive words of Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, describe our suffering Savior in this way. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. In Psalm 18, verse 35, the psalmist says to God, You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great. And then Isaiah, speaking for God, says this in Isaiah 41, verse 10, Fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Three times the Apostle Paul besought the Lord to remove that thorn in the flesh which he tells us about in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we've wondered what it was. And even before the HIPAA laws that dictate privacy, we weren't able to know, were we? And all three times, Paul says the answer was the same thing. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. God didn't make Paul's burden disappear. And there are some burdens that some of us are in the process of bearing right now that we've asked for relief. We've asked God to take those things from us so that we can get some relief. And what He does many times, and what He did in the case of Paul's thorn in the flesh, listen carefully. He picks us up, burden and everything, and He carries us along. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask, He will deliver, make of my troubles quickly an end. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus. He all my cares and sorrows will share. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me over the world, the victory to win. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear these burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. The greatest burden that anyone may be bearing right now is the burden of sin and the burden of guilt. God offers release from that burden when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we believe in Jesus as God's Son, repent of our sins, confess our faith in Him, and we'll be baptized, He will, in that, wash our sins away. If you need to do that, there's not a better time than today. If you have done that but have become unfaithful in your service to God, He wants you to come back. He wants you to be faithful. He wants to forgive you. It may very well be that right now you are the only thing that's standing in the way of that happening. If we can assist you in any manner, and if you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing.